And in our Bibles, this time to Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews 2, we're going to read So let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, let's start at verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and that's found on page 1188. Hebrews 2 at verse 10. For it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he's not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers, and in the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children God has given to me. Since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it was not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Then let's turn in our Belgic Confession. If you'd like to turn with me, Belgic Confession, Article 5. And we're going to be reading about the authority of Scripture. Belgic Confession, Article 5. The authority of Scripture. We receive all, this is page 856, we receive all these books and these only as holy and canonical for the regulating, founding, and establishing of our faith. And we believe without a doubt all things contained in them, not so much because the church receives and approves them as such, but above all because the Holy Spirit testifies in our hearts that they are from God, and also because they prove themselves to be from God. For even the blind themselves are able to see that the things predicted in them do happen. And as far as reading in our Belgic Confession, and we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you know why these 66 books are here included in our Bible? Have you ever wondered why other books were not included, or if in fact some books that should have been included were left out? Well, our Belgic Confession, Article 5, which we just read, seeks to answer that question for us. Why these books and no other? If we're continuing our series through the Belgic Confession, we're in the middle of the perfections of Scripture. If you still have your books open to the back of our in the back of our songbooks here in the Belgic Confession, you'll see that Belgic Confession Article 2 talks about the necessity of Scripture, that we can come to know God not only in creation in a general sense, but more perfectly and fully in his word. We need the word in order to understand what is necessary for our salvation. In Belgic Confession Article 7, we find the sufficiency of Scripture. Everything that we need to know for salvation is here sufficiently contained. Today, with Belgic Confession Article 5, we find the authority of Scripture. Now, when we speak of the authority of Scripture, we are not saying that the Bible is one source of authority among all others. But rather, for us as Christians, the Bible is the final source of authority. If you go back to the Reformation, you will find that the cry was ad font, back to the source, back to the scriptures. These things that the church was teaching and believing and practicing, where did they come from? Were they rooted in scripture or were they not? Last week, we looked at the fact that all scripture is God-breathed. But how do we know which scriptures are in this all scripture, or which books are in fact breathed out by God or inspired? Is there some standard that can be applied to the books to prove that they are inspired? Or stated negatively, is it possible that some books that are in the Bible shouldn't be here at all? Could we, through our archaeology, find a book in a hidden cave in the Middle East and say, well, this is a lost gospel, something that should have been included or needs to be inserted? Is that something that could happen? Well, today we are looking at the authority of Scripture. The Bible gives way to no one. If the Bible says it, we are to receive it and believe it as such, coming to us from God. Well, where does the Bible get its authority? From man or from God? Well, we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ gives us the word which has the authority of God himself. And our first point then, as we look at the Bible, we see that these 66 books are given to us from the very hand of God, and they are to be received from his hand as such. Turn with me again in your Bibles back to our reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. And here Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. So here we find Paul writing, referring to the church here in Thessalonica, and the church is said to receive the word, receive the words of Paul, receive the preaching of Paul, and receiving here even this letter from Paul, delivered by the hand of Paul to the church, receiving it as it is. Added to this reception, they accepted it. It was placed in their hand, and they embraced it in their hearts. How did they receive it? How did they accept it? As the very word of God, which it is. This reception, Paul is saying, is proper, is right, is to be expected, because this book really is, this letter really was, sent from God himself. Paul is saying that was the proper, that was the right, that was the expected, that was the good response. To receive, to accept, to embrace, and then to identify that this very word was coming not from the words of men. These were not the words of Paul. These were not the words of some super apostle. They were the words of God himself. So Paul's speaking and Paul's letters that he was here writing was authorized by God and put in a category of sacred scripture, or the word of God himself. In humble obedience, the very early New Testament church acknowledged it, identified it, received it, and accepted it as it was. This is very significant that the church was not authorizing it. The church was simply accepting it and receiving it. So it is. As our Belgian Confession builds upon this point, the church receives these books as they are, the very word of God. It is an act of humble, submissive faith to say these books are given to us not from men, but they are from God himself, and the church accepts them, receives them, and identifies them. It is from God that these books come. It has been stamped with his authority, and the early church is simply recognizing this fact. Well, why do we have 66 books? The church did not receive a list of books that should be included in the Bible as such. A little bit of history. The earliest recording we have of the complete list of 66 books together is in the Easter letter of Athanasius in 367 AD. This complete list of 66 books was later affirmed by the Council of Hippo at 393 AD. But although these are the earliest extant lists that we have, the church before this point had received and largely agreed. When this list and this council was approved, this was not a divisive event. The church had been brought to a point to say, yes, these books, these 66 books, have the marks of sacred scripture. The church is receiving them, embracing them, believing them because of what they actually are. As we remember with the Thessalonians, the early church as a whole receives and accepts them, identifying what was already true. It was clear to the early church that these books were different and set apart. So our Belgic Confession Article 5 puts it like this. What is the grounds for the inclusion of these books in Scripture? Where is the authority for these books? Belgic Confession Article 5, the Holy Spirit testifies in our hearts that they are from God. The Holy Spirit testifies in our hearts, speaks to us in our souls. These books are from God. Not only were they authorized by God, but it is also a comfort to know that it is the Holy Spirit who preserves these books and makes it clear, evident to the church, that these books are, in fact, God's word from God himself. To build upon this, John 10 says that the sheep know the voice of their good shepherd. How do we know that the Bible is God's word to us? Because we as sheep can hear the voice of Jesus Christ in these very sacred scriptures. Those who deny that the Bible is God's word prove that they do not know the Good Shepherd, because everyone who knows the Good Shepherd knows the voice of Jesus Christ. So it is, the church remains the only place that can identify that this Bible, this book, is God's sacred word. Those who are unbelievers lack the means and the power to identify which books should be included in Scripture. And again, John 8, verse 47, whoever is of God hears the word of God. So those who receive the Holy Spirit have been given, have been impressed upon this very fact, that these books are from God and they have his authority. So the first way that we can identify the difference or distinction in these very books is that they are very clearly impressed upon us by the Spirit that God has written them, and they are different than every other book because God has authorized them. Added to this, we have the Holy Spirit to thank for not only the writing of sacred scripture, but the delivery and preservation of sacred scripture today. To question the authority of scripture, or to question which books are in scripture, is to question or challenge the very work of the Holy Spirit. So do we believe that God the Holy Spirit was active in the writing of sacred scripture? Do we believe that the Holy Spirit continues his active work of preserving the books that he wants to preserve and delivering them down through the ages, enabling the church to identify what is true, that these books are from God and not from man? They are different because we can hear God's very voice in these words. Our hearts burn within us when we read them because they are, in fact, sacred scripture. Belgic Confession Article 5 then continues with a second mark. A second way in which we can tell that these books are canonical is their way of being self-authenticating. The Bible proves within itself that it is different from every other book. It proves within itself that it is from God in this way. The prophecies that have been made are fulfilled. We are able to see the prophecies given in Scripture, the things that are predicted, do in fact happen. There is no other book written by man that predicts events as the Scripture does. Although it may be possible for some people to predict significant singular events, the sheer amount and specificity of prophecies in the scripture prove beyond the shadow of a doubt. Jesus himself said in Luke 24, that's Luke 24, "These things written about me must be fulfilled." Jesus made it very clear that prophecies given in scripture, speaking about who Jesus Christ is, what he would do, and how he would die, must be fulfilled. Not one word, not the slightest iota, not the dot of an I would fall to the ground unfulfilled. Why? Because the Bible is God's word and it is true. The Bible has over 300 direct prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the person, name, timing, and work of Jesus Christ. Over 300. From where he will be born, to where he will be raised, to where he will be crucified. Even the very words he speaks will be prophesied in the Old Testament. There are also specific names given, foretold hundreds of years before these rulers would be born. Specific time frames for how long the Egyptian captivity would take place, how long the wandering in the wilderness would take place, and even how many years the Israelites would be in captivity in Babylon. So people's times, places, events are all foretold, and not one of these prophecies has failed to come to be. The Bible is rock solid firm. Not one thing has been broken. Every event has or will happen just as God promised, because it is God's word and is written with his authority. So we can see that the Bible is from God because only God knows and controls the future. The church then receives these books as they are. The church does not make the Bible the Bible. The church does not give the Bible authority. The church simply recognizes that this book is coming to us from God, acknowledging what is true. Since the Bible is from God, we are not free to add to the words, nor are we free to take away from these words. The warning given at the end of Revelation 22 makes this clear. If anyone adds to the words of this prophecy, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away the words of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city. The canon is closed. The church is not free to add books to the scriptures. The canon is closed because God has made it clear that this word is what we need to hear and has been delivered safely into our hands by the Holy Spirit. But rather, blessed are those who hear, those who believe, and those who receive. Proverbs 30, verse 5 clarifies, "Every word of God proves true." This is Proverbs 30, verse 5. "He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." So the authority of God's word is rooted in the one who gives us God's word, rooted in God's authority himself. It is comprehensive and it is unique. The Bible, when it speaks, speaks with supreme authority, and it speaks to all areas of life. Reverend Thomas puts it like this: none can rival or override the authority of God's word. Children, let me ask you this question. If you were to go home tonight and walk around your home and count how many Bibles you have in your house, how many Bibles do you think you have? Would you have 3 Bibles in your house, 5 Bibles, maybe 10 Bibles in your house? The fact that we have so many Bibles, that we have such ease of access, often brings about a lack of appreciation. The fact is, brothers and sisters, we take our Bibles for granted. We assume that everyone has one, but do we see this book as it really is, God's word, given to us by the authority of God himself? Praise God for this book. Instead of putting ourselves over it, we are to receive it and to humble ourselves under it. We are to thank the Holy Spirit for preserving this book. Because there have been many men and many rulers and many kingdoms that have tried to extinguish the flame of God's word. They have tried to rip the scriptures from history, and yet the Holy Spirit preserves his word and hands it down to us for our safekeeping even to this day. It is an article of faith. We believe this book and no other book is the very word of God. Well, now that we have delved into the fact that we are to receive and embrace and identify God's word, as it really is, just like the church in Thessalonica did, we move on to our second point, that we are not only to receive it, but we are to believe it. And there is a difference. You can receive it without actually believing it. But not only are we to receive it and acknowledge it as it is, we are to believe it and submit to it as the source of authority. John 17 says this, "Your word is truth." Your word is truth. Since God's word is true from God, it is to be submitted to, believed, and embraced with hearts of faith. Stated in the words of our article, this is back from Belgian Confession, Article 5, we receive these books for the regulation, foundation, and establishment of our faith. The Bible is given to us for the regulation, foundation, and establishment of our faith. The Bible sets before us the path that leads to life and life everlasting. It is the foundation of truth. As Jesus says in John 17, verse 17, "Your word is truth. Sanctify them in that truth." So as I said before, the Bible is not just one source of authority, one of our many options that we can look to for our source of truth. The Bible is the singular truth. As such, everything that is taught within it is to be believed and submitted to. Since these words, these scriptures are from God, we see it as it is, we are to humble ourselves for it. Stated negatively, if the Bible speaks on a subject that we disagree with, we are not free to elevate ourselves or to rebel against these very words. So Scripture is the only source of authority for us as God's people. That's what sola scriptura is, revealing to us the only way in which we can be saved and how we are to live. The Bible is the final source of authority to which we appeal. Everything it says must be believed. To be clear, the Bible is not an independent object. Its authority comes from its being authorized by God himself. The Bible is an instrument in the hand of God, used by him as his word, and that word is powerful and effective. The Bible is an instrument, a powerful weapon in the hand of our God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 says, "The word of the cross is the power of God." Romans says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And here I want to return again to the book of Hebrews, this time to Hebrews chapter 4. If you want to turn with me back to Hebrews. Continuing to look at what does the Bible say about itself and specifically its work. So if we're recognizing that the Bible is given to us from the authority of God, having the authority of God, it is to be believed and submitted to, what do we expect to see the Bible do if we are receiving it and submitting to it? So here we turn to Hebrews 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." On the day of judgment, we will be judged on this basis. How do we respond to God's word? The power of God is evident to us, is revealed to us. Hebrews 4 says the word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing us, dividing thoughts from intentions. Nothing is hidden from the sight of the powerful word. The Bible reveals the truth, revealing what we need to know, how we should act, and what we are to think. Nothing is hidden from this all-consuming and piercing light. You cannot hide from God's word. It is a light that shines upon our path, but it is also a light that shines upon our heart. So the Bible is a powerful light, a sword that pierces and pricks and convicts. So it is with the word that we are convicted of our sins. One of the powerful uses of Scripture is that when you read the Bible, you see your sin, you see your error, you see your need for a Savior. So the Bible convicts us. But the Bible is also a tool, a powerful tool used by God to give light and life. Powerful and active, so powerful and active that it is the breath of God that brings power into those dead bones in Ezekiel 37. It is after Ezekiel preaches the word that the Holy Spirit enters those dead bones and raises them up as a mighty army. I want to read one more passage, this time from Jeremiah 23. I turn to the Old Testament, Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declare the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and deceives, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them. So they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. So here Jeremiah makes it very clear that there is a distinction between the true word and the false prophets that had been sent. How do we know those who have the true word? Well, their word comes to be, that which is prophesied comes to be fulfilled. But it is also the power here in verse 29. The word of God is like a fire, and it is also like a hammer. Fire has the power to both destroy but also purify. Hammers can break down but also build up. So it is that God's word not only is used to convict us of our sin, but also point us the way to salvation so that we might be delivered from their sin. As hammers break down but also build, fire destroys and purifies, so it is God's word rebukes us, corrects us, but also trains us, encourages us, and comforts us. Yes, exposing our sin, pointing our need for a Savior, but also revealing to us how we might be saved and delivered from this bondage in which we live. So there is, here in the Scriptures, not only law but gospel, so that we might know how we can be saved. Let's pause for a moment as we take a step back and considering what we saw last week with the Word of God as necessary. We need God's Word because without God's Word, we would be left in our darkness and in our ignorance. Today, when it comes to the authority of God's Word, we find that it is in God's Word in the Scriptures that His message is revealed to us, and that message has great power and purpose. Being God's word, the Bible tells us it has the right and the authority to tell us how we are to live, what we are to do in order to be saved, who in whose name we can be saved. Praise God that the Bible not only has authority, it also has power. Scripture says it is the power of God unto salvation. The word that we receive is the word of God, but it also has great power from God to perform that which God desires to perform. If you think back to what we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, that word was not only received and embraced, identified as God's word, but Paul continues the end of that verse by saying, that word of God is at work in you. God's word has authority, but it is also powerful to perform great works in you. It is the means by which the Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth and sets before us the path in which we are to go. His word is powerful and it is effective. Isaiah 55 says this, the word sent out from God will not return empty. The word of God carries out the purpose that God designs for it to accomplish. And what is God's design and desire for you? It is your salvation and sanctification. So then, if the Bible is from God, if we as a church are to recognize what is true, the Bible is written from God, we receive it as such, are there areas of your life that you have withheld from the light of Scripture? Is there an area of your life that you have refused to let the Bible speak into or to speak about? Your hobbies? How you spend your free time? Who you date? How you give? What you do at work? Are there areas of your life that need to be brought into the light of God's Word? Everything, all of life, falls under the authority of God's sacred Scripture. There is no point in your day, no point in your week, no point in your life that you can say the Bible has nothing to say about how we are to live and how we are to be saved. To conclude, the power and authority of God's Word goes hand in hand. Without authority, the Bible would not have any right to tell us how to live. And without power, the Bible could not change and would change us and would do us no good. But as it is, the Bible is the power of God sent with the authority of God, a living word that is active in our lives. As Jesus Christ here reveals, the word has the authority of God himself. So may we as God's people receive the word as it is, not the words of some man, but the words of God himself. And may we submit ourselves to it, acknowledging the need to bow the knee before the very word of Jesus Christ. The grass withers, the flowers will fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So if God says it in his word, we are to identify it as true, receiving it as such, and believe it, because it comes from God himself. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this reminder, even as we saw in the early church, the call to receive your word, to identify it as from you, and to align our lives with it. We pray, O Lord, that you'd forgive us for being rebellious, forgive us for hiding parts of our life from the gaze of your word. If your word says something to us, if it speaks to us in our lives, help us to submit to that word, knowing that your word is powerful, authoritative, good. It is a blessing for us, that your way is better because you know us and you made us. So we pray, O Lord, that we would be people of your word, that we would meditate upon your word day and night. For in your word, we find not only our sin, but the way to salvation and the one name given to men by which we can be saved. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.